Today's date is November 9th, and today I'm interviewing Mrs. Lucy Beam at her home in Louisville, Kentucky. My name is Kim Lady. Okay, Mrs. Beam, if you want to tell me a little bit about when your mother was born and something about her family background.
Yes, mother was born in on February the 29th, 1981. All right, you ask me now.
Okay. Do you want to tell me a little bit about your mother's background when she was born and her full name?
Her name was Rhoda Cowell Cavanaugh. She was born February 28, 1871 in Anderson County in a section known as the Cutoff. It was formed by taking a portions of Nelson County and Washington County and joining them to Anderson. It was a Republican section and an overwhelmingly Democratic county, and was also pro-Union as opposed to the rest of the county, which was strongly Confederate. Her father was a captain in the Union Army. My father's family was, his father had enlisted in the Confederate Army and died soon after. For a Republican, and one whose father was a captain in the Union Army, to live in Lawrenceburg was hard.
Was it noticeable? I mean, were people aware that she was from a
Well, she, of course, my father was, he was an old-time Democrat, and of course he never ran for public office, but he loved politics. And she could not vote the Republican ticket, so she registered as an independent. Although her brother, he was a physician, and he was the Republican boss for Anderson County. Some years later, in about 1910, he moved to Texas. But that section remained Republican, and there was one in Lawrenceburg to Mr. Ballard. In fact, a little when it had been Cowell Post Office, and they changed it to Ballard in his honor.
Was this a very large family that your mother was from?
Yes, there were 7.
That is 7. Mm-hmm. Now you were telling me she was taught by somebody named Birdwhistle? Is that a...
Well, Mr. Birdwhistle had a... small school in Lawrenceburg.
Okay.
And she boarded Miss Maddox and went to school there. And then went to Science Hill. And then, when she was 15 years old, she began to teach school. And her...
Where was she teaching?
She taught in a county school. Either the Young or the Goodlett. They were the two that were in that section of the county. Then she went to the University of Kentucky when the school was over. They were in the summer, so they tend the crops. And my father was a young doctor, and they married. And in 1895, in September, my sister used to laugh and say mother was against romance because she never allowed the letter writing, as you know, took a great deal of time, so she discouraged that with the Annapolis and West Point boys. And then, too, the little girls, of course, they usually were attractive young men and young boys, and she was lived in just fear that one of them would fall in love and marry one of the little girls. And I can't remember the name. Then, of course, in Naples, I guess it's still a rule if they married while they were in Naples, they were, mm-hmm. had to resign. Mm-hmm. But her great ability was not in the way she, as so much as the way she taught, as in her ability to impart knowledge. She believed so implicitly that everybody could learn that she made it easy for them. As, for instance, her first and only really retarded pupil, of course there were others that graduated from high school, but the diplomas were not signed. Oh. She called no attention to the fact that they were not quite equal to the others.
Oh, that's an interesting way of handling it.
And she realized with this first retarded boy that excuse me, he had to earn his living. They were poor, as people were poor in 1906. Mm-hmm. Hard for us to understand that. And she knew you'd have to learn to count money. And we grew accustomed to it. I don't know how, he used to sit in a little low chair, almost a footstool our side, and they counted the money. It was 4 years before he could count money. But she told his mother, when she asked her about teaching him, she felt that she could not teach him. She'd had no experience. So she said, let him come and I'll see. And so she called and told her, she came back and she told her. She said he has two qualities that you have to inherit. He's absolutely honest and he's obedient. I think I can do something with him. And he went on to earn his living. She died, his mother died, and went on to earn his living. He delivered laundry and grocery wagon, various things, and bought the little home he was living in and several next door and left a sizable estate when he died.
That's quite to the mother's credit, when you think of what might have happened to him if she hadn't tried to help.
I just don't know what he would have done.
Well, when your mother got married, she quit teaching.
Until 1906. Well, really, not because my cousins, the Gilbert boys, they were ready to go to college. And, of course, the high school there, and it was back in about 1902, or 1903. And I remember, graduating college. She had to help, had to prepare them for college, and there were several others. Two, after 1910, were there in school, at the county high school started. Well, there, I remember two were there. They were going, I think, one to the University of Virginia and one to Washington Lee. But then, I don't know just when they began. I guess maybe in 1910, when the county high school was formed, they began accrediting mm-hmm. high school.
So she tutored them, basically?
Yes.
So they could go on to college?
Uh-huh. They nearly all had to have pass entrance examinations. I'm sure of that.
Now, there are three children, you and your sister?
My brother, who was Dr. Mm-hmm. Charles Nicholas Cavanaugh in Lexington, Kentucky, and my sister, Mrs. Raymond Boggess, and
Now you were saying that you were talking about your sister had to wear glasses. Is that the sister?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you had a cousin who
A hip injury. She was born with a dislocated hip, and they took her to Boston, and it left her crippled You've seen them, people used to say, describe them, walk long and short, you know. Mm-hmm. And she, they were afraid for her to be in the public school because the first grade was upstairs, first and second grade, and my sister was wearing glasses, and mother was afraid, and my father too, they'd be knocked off when she played because she was very active. So she started, and mother always believed you had to have a certain number. They learned better in a class. So she had various, there were various cousins and some other children.
Why did she feel that? She felt they needed to interact with each other?
She loved competition.
Oh, that does definitely play a role in learning.
Yes, it does. And she always stressed that a certain amount of time, you must have must study a certain amount of time, usually, of course, it was at night, and have a place, a table, and a chair and all, and if you could, away from the family, and houses where they wasn't, where they didn't have much room, just study in the kitchen. There was a table there always. But you must study. And you must really memorize and study.
So it was after she started teaching basically family and certain particular people in the neighborhood that she, it was just a few years before she...
1910, see, it wasn't too long.
And then she, it was
from 1904 to, I suppose about 1908, the school began, was larger. And she built on the, what we call the chapel. It was a three-story building back, but she kept the same schoolroom, hers, always. It was in the house proper. And then later on, years later, they built a gymnasium in the back when basketball became so popular and all. And in basketball, the thing with her was not so much coaching, it's she realized that you couldn't score unless you had the ball. So to get the ball was a primary thing. And then the free throw, which is, I guess...
make or break a game easily.
It can. And they practiced. Of course, it was outdoor court then. And afternoons, they used to practice the free throws. Mm. On and on. And,
how did she get involved in that? Was that just out of a... I know there were these physical examinations that the boys had to pass with.
No, she liked to have, well, around, we had a national oratorical winner and declamatory too. We had, and the commencements we had, for the gymnasium, we had drills and Mrs. Carter lived there, and she was a graduate of sergeants in Washington, D.C., and she had a gymnasium class. We had this with the Indian clubs and the dumbbells. And then, of course, we always had a play. And it must be well-rounded. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it just going to school. And, of course, then the sports came in, basketball. Mm-hmm. Now, they had some football, but it was never two of them. I guess... due to the size of the school, and she felt that country boys didn't, after all, you had to have so many to play football to make it any fun, but you could put that hoop up on the
side of the barn.
From beside the barn and learn there. Mm-hmm. And we had several All-Americans at the University of Kentucky and at Annapolis. And,
When was it, that she first started tutoring, teaching boys to go to Annapolis and West Point?
1914. When Irving McKee, his father, promoted him, he didn't know what he'd do. Lawrenceburg was, as they say, that was the end of the good old days. And the good old days were characterized as before taxes and after plumbing. was a senior, or graduated at the city school, the public school, the city school, but to take that examination he had to be prepared, so he came and entered the class that graduated, the senior class, and he was not outstandingly smart in that class, because it did have some that were very, that were unusually smart. My sister was one of them, and the boy that she afterwards married. But he passed the examination, and a good friend of his was there taking the examination, and his father was the adjutant general of Kentucky. And when he asked Major McKee, who was a veteran of the Spanish-American War, who had prepared him, and he told him that Miss Cavanaugh had. And he said, "Do you think she would take Roger?" So she did, and he passed. But that's when she decided that they must take the physical first. They decided to get him in just real top condition for it. They'd have his tonsils taken out, and that was one of the few times that the operation was not a success, and he failed it. Mm. But
he failed his physical exam.
He passed the mental, but he failed physical. So he afterwards joined the Army and went high in the Army. But that started the school, really, because his father was so grateful. He said, "Now everybody that I can send and wants to go out, tell them about that." And then Mother, she had a rule that any Anderson County boy that could get an appointment, and she would coach free, junior free. And in 1922, the population of Lawrenceburg and Anderson County, no, Lawrenceburg, was 2,200. And we had 11 boys who were officers of the United States Army and Navy. An officer favored 200 people.
That is something.
It was.
Uh-huh. Did the boys in the area think that to be a great honor to be able to go to Annapolis or West
Point? Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, it was.
Uh-huh. Now, the boys that you tutored for the military institutions, now they also had to go through the regular high school in the day, is that right?
Well, no, they did. They studied, but they didn't. I can't remember whether they recited with them or not. I don't believe they did. But you see, then, which it still is, They didn't have, I don't believe they had any foreign languages in the examination. But later on, anybody that passed the examination, they gave them a high school diploma.
Oh, well,
mm-hmm.
They should be given one if they could pass that examination.
Yes, that's right. And they stayed on from after, if they passed the examination, it was first in the middle of April, and then I think they moved it back to March. And they stayed on to get ready for that first year at Annapolis. They had to take a solid geometry in 6 weeks, so they took that, and they kept studying so they could get there and stay in. That was the main thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't just getting there.
No, staying in. Mm. Now, one failed in my memory. He was in my place, but he had fallen in love with a high school teacher, and of course he spent too much time letter writing, and he came back, but Mother persuaded him to go back, and he went on and graduated, and now is a rear admiral, still alive.
Did you have any that once they got to Annapolis West Point were not able to make it through? Did you remember?
No, I remember now and resigned because they did not like it. And others may have, but I knew of only two that I knew of that did. They didn't, military life was not for them. So they recognized, they resigned.
From what you told me, your mother was a very strict disciplinarian. I would have thought they would have been used to.
They were, but one of them, in fact, both of them, they had a great deal of hazing. And they had been popular boys, and
They didn't like the social atmosphere then.
The hazing was too much for them, and unfortunately, there was one particular sadistic boys in the upperclassmen, and they were too hard on them.
It's a shame.
It was, but I don't think they ever regretted. They went on and were very successful men. But and they did make, after that, they did make some very strict rules. Had they been unattractive boys, you might have noticed it, because there are some people that use over and they like to pick on. But these were, it was due to these other boys who were sadistic, and they just...
Most of the boys that your mother taught, now some of them were from Anderson County, but did some come from families all over the state that
yes, and other states too.
Other states also?
Oh yeah. I remember Tennessee and Ohio, and then some had, I think Illinois won, and usually they, no, not always, they didn't have relatives. But it's been so long, I've forgotten a great many, many of them. And then afterwards, of course, I was gone, and really in 1918 with college, and married as soon as I got out of college. And you get out of touch with it. But one tells me who is, he was an admiral, and he's telling me that mother woke them up in the morning on to Annapolis. it was never dull. It might have been, might not have suited you at all time, but there was never anything dull.
Of what you told me, she had every moment filled with studying.
Well, studying, and then with their, they all had to get out. They had to go down town in the afternoons. They couldn't just stay in all the time. And they, of course, they had the basketball and the various things. They took part in that. They didn't, it wasn't just all. But the time was, they didn't idle.
Did religion play a role in this? Did your mother?
Well, they went to church. They'd start, and then they got from Sunday morning to Sunday night, and then they had to have really a young man who afterwards became a high up in the Episcopal Church. They read prayers and the Bible Sunday night, because the little girl was just ruined the church. They really couldn't be there. They were behind trying to talk to them. And various things, romance.
Oh, yes, young romance. Does play a part.
Yes, it did.
Well, now, how long did your mother... she was principal for the county high school, right? Now, how did that interfere with her?
Oh, no, it didn't.
She just
you
saw
see, they was... had to... I guess... she was principal of the county high school, and she never, counted on the Annapolis and West Point boys so much. She wanted this to go on. See, they had to have the basketball team and the various, and then these various others, and the declaratory and hard talker contests, and had to enter the state contests, and the various things. It went on in the school then. Then in 1945, she became ill and lived till 1959. Excuse me, I'll see what that is. Won't be anything much.
Okay, now how did your father feel about your mother's working?
He was busy, and he had a big practice, and then he was interested in politics, and he was interested in the school. It was it's hard for people to understand that it was just a part of life. It wasn't separate at all, and still we had our own lives and all. But gradually, as the years went on, and after he died, it became it took a big part. After he died in 1930, but
and the family was grown and married, so I imagine it was very important.
And my sister came back to teach.
Oh, she lived in, she lives in Lawrenceburg? Or?
Oh, she did live in Lawrenceburg. Then in 19 and about 38, she stops teaching and lives here in Louisville. We moved here. It was during the war, and you couldn't get gasoline. We lived in the country, you know. Mm-hmm. So then we came here.
How did your mother feel when the wars came? Did she ever lose any of her boys through the war?
No. I can't remember the World War I. I think there was only one in Anderson County killed. And it didn't affect us so seriously, except they stopped teaching German in the schools. Feeling was high that way, and of course it was a strange thing to say, a pleasant time. They had the troops down guarding the bridge at Tyrone, and that meant that they had more boys, you know.
True.
To have the dances and the various things.
Did you have dances while your mother was?
No, never with the school. They'd be in the town, you know, little town of Lawrenceburg. You know. My sister was a great card player, and mother thought playing cards was an absolute waste of time. And we used to ask her. They had little card clubs, and euchre was when she was first married. And for many years, a great game. And my father liked to play cards. And so we asked her, after she was sick a long time and whiling away the hours, we said, what did you do at the euchre parties? She said, well, Mr. Gaines didn't play cards. He was then the president of the bank. And he was the oldest living graduate of KMI and also the SAE fraternity. And so sister said, well, what did you talk about? And mother said, business, of course.
She kept everything business.
Business, of course. And they did. They talked about that.
Were you close to many of the students? Or was it, in a sense, an expanded family?
No.
Did some of them board with you?
Yes, they stayed there, but yes, I guess we were, but it's hard to explain it. You see, it was just a part of, just a matter of fact, wasn't it?
Just the way it was.
That was just it. Uh-huh. Yeah, there we were.
And when were you born?
1900.
So you were quite young when
you see, started. My sister was 4 years older. So when she was 8, school was started.
Okay. So, do you feel you got a quality education from your mother?
Oh, goodness, yes. We went ahead. My sister was an honor graduate at the University of Kentucky. And I went to Danville and KCW Junior College, honor graduate there, and then came to Kentucky. And we feared examinations in that, of course, those 10 questions could spoil an A record. So I graduated in a year and a half and made 21 A's.
Goodness.
But then it was a strange thing about it. When they installed Phi Beta Kappa, which they took in all those who had a certain standing. I think it was 2.5, 3 was the top then. And of course, I had been in school 2 years. But a few years ago, Center College, they had a chapter of Phi Beta Kappa, and they were looking into KCW, which had become a part of Center College, into that graduates, and so they gave me the Phi Beta Kappa. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever feel any pressure that you had to excel, or was it just simply a matter of fact?
We knew it. We just knew it. Somebody had to make the highest grade. Mom said, it could be you.
Is that the way she treated almost all of her students, though, that she just simply expected them to do their best?
Yes, but she knew their limitations, that all couldn't be honor students. And of course, some of the boys came there who weren't from Annapolis or West Point, and they would get along well, and their fathers and mothers would want them to go to Annapolis, and she always said, no, I think they'd be better suited to something else.
That's good. It's often difficult for parents to
expect too much of them.
When you, what happened during holidays? Did the boys go home or?
No.
They stayed on. The holidays? Mm-hmm. Was that a time when they could get more studying done?
Or yes. And of course, that was one reason that we were able to make such high grades that I was, particularly after the University of Kentucky. For instance, a French teacher allowed me to read all the French and then take an examination on and get the credit for that for the semester, you see.
Did your mother ever do anything to make the holidays seem special to the boys? Were they?
No.
As
a matter of fact. Now, of course, we had in school all holidays, they had to be celebrated. She didn't believe in holidays per se as taking time off from school. And we had to celebrate that. We had to have speeches and songs and things, and it was really...
They weren't passed over, they were indeed, just
no,
made part
no,
of their
indeed.
Education.
No, it wasn't a... No, she didn't believe in holidays or vacations. She always said, they said, oh, you need a rest, and she said, well, it's just like your heart, your rest between beats.
Huh. She sounds like a very, very hard worker.
She was.
Interested in all aspects of education.
Mm-hmm.
Did she, was she involved in education out throughout Lawrence County, not just in Lawrenceburg?
In Anderson County? Mm-hmm. No. In this way. After those, and she often had the prepared teachers, too, for the teacher's examination. That was another part. See, they had to take the teacher's examination, and then they came all the time to get that one-room school started. See, that was a very hard job for them, some of those young girls.
Definitely.
And, of course, discipline played such a role.
Did your mother have her theories on discipline? Did she ever have discipline problems?
Oh, yes, but Mother, it didn't seem to bother her. She didn't... mind. My sister and I, we saw no point in allowing somebody to stay in school that was going to disrupt the class. But she felt that you must inspire them to behave themselves and so forth. Of course, there were some that didn't.
But she never called quits until there was absolutely no other choice.
And absolutely necessary.
And when was it she began coaching? Was that in the 30s? Was that?
Oh, no, in 1914.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, see, basketball.
Oh, basketball, that coaching. Now, I never saw as much of that. I didn't know anything, but she didn't really do any coaching. She had a coach, but just that interest in it and all.
To promote
just it. Just free throws and various things.
Another cat. You like your yard. Goodness. Did you ever have pets when you grew up?
Oh, they always, like, I had a pony. And, of course, they were. I don't remember any dogs. Some cats, but no, they weren't.
Now, you grew up kind of in the city, didn't you? It was just a small
town. Just right there in the old town. Large person. I don't think it's large even now.
No, it's not too terrible.
Mm-mm.
It's still considered kind of a rural community.
Bedroom town. They were working in Frankfurt.
Did the depression affect your mother's work at all? Did it keep certain boys from coming?
I don't remember anything about that. You see, I was away. But I don't know that it did. I really don't know. Of course, we had some of them that came that had to somebody was sending them there that wanted to get to Annapolis, mm-hmm. was going to get that education for boys. Of course, when the prize won, Tyler Woolridge, he lived in Anderson County and walked to school several miles. And mother always liked a one in the class and one or two. Wanted to help the others.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a born teacher.
Woolridge?
Tyler Woolridge. Mm-hmm. And when he came home, or came by to tell her about the examination, she said, "Did you pass?" And he said, "Yes, we all did." He was really...
Mm-hmm. For everyone.
Everyone.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Imagine your mother gained quite a bit of satisfaction from this, from the success rate she had with her boys.
Well, yes, but it was taken as a matter of course. Never dwelt upon. We didn't. I don't.
Did your mother ever feel she was doing something patriotic, or was it just education?
Education. Mm-hmm. She was. And of course, she used to say, we were always so surprised. She said, "I hate to see the young girls start to teach." So they usually had to put on glasses, and it makes their voices stern.
Oh dear. Did she educate the boys and the girls differently? Or was it just...
No, all the same.
I wonder how she would have felt about women going to Annapolis and West Point.
Oh, I don't think she approved of that.
That is a bit different.
Mm-hmm. It is. I don't remember. I think there was one girl in my class, maybe, that was a brilliant a girl. But when the school first started, there were several in it then. She said, "Well, usually brilliant girls."
Whatever happened to most of them? Did they go on, or
no.
You never?
I don't know. I can't remember anybody that. Any girls? It's hard to explain. The school was a great part of life, but how it operated.
I have trouble sometimes connecting the fact that she was a principal and working at the county school, and yet mm-hmm. she was doing this and then helping the young man who was retarded. It seemed that she must have worked 18 hours a day.
Well, she looked at
she did the tutoring, the coaching of the boys exclusively. No one else helped her. She did it all. Is that?
Yeah, they started
under her.
Yes, they started there. They did. I guess they were. I just don't remember about that. Long in there, I don't remember. I don't think there were anybody. There was anybody my age. I guess. I don't remember too much about that.
But she, there were no other teachers that helping her with it. It was just basically.
No, they went to school. They went to. They were pupils, probably. I didn't know. Because they took up the space in the classroom.
Did your brother ever want to go to Annapolis, or did he always want to
go
to
Annapolis? No, he was in there. Of course, he went to, he was in the Army. He was a major mm-hmm. in the, because he was 8 years older than I was. And, it was kind of, then we didn't hear much, know much about Annapolis and West Point. You see how long ago that was,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
And that class, the war class, Tyler Rogers in that class, they went 3 years. They graduated them ahead of time.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So
they could help fight.
The 1918 class was graduated in 17.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
Was there any particular year of group of students that were... better than any of the others? It was just a... Was there ever a year when she didn't have any students? Was it all, once she got started, it just seemed to continue?
I think so. I lost that in those last years, say from 1930. I don't remember too much about it.
Did she ever want anyone to take over for her when she would?
No, we never thought of that.
It would just, when she was gone, it would end.
We just never talked about it. She never, she always spoke of the finality of death. It was something to be dreaded, death was, it wasn't. That was it, the finality of death.
So it was never discussed about anyone of her daughters coming back and,
and
teaching in her stead?
No. One man told me afterwards that he thought that he was in schoolwork that he could learn what he couldn't have. And he realized his limitations, he didn't know any mathematics. That was the great.
That's what I was thinking. Your mother hadn't been so well educated in so many subjects, and now it just isn't done that way.
No.
It seems so. She must have been somewhat.
She had a remarkable brain. Remarkable. As for instance, she said when she and Uncle Austin were young, they learned the latitude and longitude of all the principal cities of the world and things like that. And of course, there's a blue ribbon on that first teacher certificate, and Dr. Pointer of Science Hill wrote on her certificate, she graduated there, fine mind. She really did have a superior mind. And of course, she could do anything. She could sew, she could cook, do anything.
Did you all have to help with the chores since she was apparently so busy?
No, we didn't have any chores. We had to cook.
It helped. Mm-hmm. Now, did people in the throughout the city, I'm sure you could have boarded all of the students.
They came in. They came in. They had, just like Canton School, they had buses. She objected to school buses because mother loved to keep in after school. And they had to get, and leave. And of course, all the school became better, too, the city school, the competition and all, which was fierce is the only word to describe it. And of course, the basketball tournaments and all were terrible. But it never seemed to bother her. We didn't care for that. But she enjoyed it.
I remember you were telling me about some of the young men she taught. Was there a young man, I'm trying to remember this right, who was going to take the exam and failed it because of...
Yes, he thought he put down enough to pass and caught the interurban to go to Frankfurt to a dance.
And then didn't. Did he ever try again?
No, I don't think so. It was hard to get appointments, and if somebody failed that way, it was hard to get another one. And, of course, Senator Barkus was competitive, and William Breckinridge ate this honey, he didn't know it, and he was allergic to honey. And he finished the examination writing blind, but he was first.
It swelled up his eyes?
I swelled his eyes, and he was first. I suppose that he was, considering his background and all, and he graduated the best, as the so-called smartest one, and blessed with good looks. I believe, I think I'm sure he took our first troops across the Rhine.
Oh, really?
He had a brother that came out of school, but he never wanted to. Cared nothing about military life or anything, and he was commissioned on the battlefield. He didn't care whether he was Annapolis or West Point or anything, it made no difference.
Did some of the boys she coached Was it just the education they were after, and they never tried for the to get into Annapolis or West Point? Or was it all just geared to getting in?
I think, yes, some of them did, yes.
Uh-huh. She seemed like she provided a well-rounded education for almost anything.
Oh, yes, she did, uh-huh. They all didn't want to go, you know. Mm-hmm. So, it wasn't easy. And they all wanted to be in the Navy and Army.
Oh, with discipline, I remember you telling me the last time I was here that one thing she always said was that if you're going to discipline a child, that you take them outside of the classroom.
Yes, because that gave them the occasion to, you know, answer back.
Right.
And she never went to the blackboard, never took the chalk or ever a pencil in her hand either. Of course, if you went to the blackboard, that was time. But she always never did. And of course, she never wanted a teacher ever to make a mistake, so they lose confidence in you, you see.
Mm, boy, that puts a lot of pressure on you to not make a mistake.
So she never, that's what she did. She'd in telling us the things when we talked. And why she said, don't take that pencil in your hand, don't go to the blackboard. Let somebody else do it, which was the thing to do. Because it just ended up, you did work the problem, you know.
Yeah, you need for them to do it.
Yeah, need for them to do it.
Did she have any other things? Did she ever use corporal punishment at all?
Oh, yes. Mother liked to, she thought to stimulate them, to slap them or something, and then use a ruler on the hands. And she believed in corporal punishment. And I think at that time the military did too. That was a great thing, you know, corporal punishment.
Yes,
she never, she always, she believed in that. She thought competition too was the thing. The thing must be competitive.
Between students or?
Mm-hmm. And between the schools, you know, the athletics and all. But I, it's a strange thing. I think we did have airports that combined the two schools. It was a long time, and there were as many good basketball players as they had been when they had the two schools.
Why would that be, I wonder?
A competition, I suppose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's right. I guess sometimes we underestimate the power of competition.
I think so, too.
Once you get started into it, it just kind of feeds upon itself.
And you have more to say, you know. Mm-hmm.
You have a goal to reach.
Yes, I do.
Did she believe that people had to have a certain goal?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. And she abhorred idleness. She was saying, and life without a purpose. You must have something you had to do.
She's right.
Something you have to do. I suppose that's a great cry against retirement.
She never did retire, did she?
Oh, no, indeed, no. But illness.
Did she like to read? Or she did she always try to keep up with certain things? Or
well, they had then they used to have current events and things like that in school.
Mm-hmm. And she taught all of that at the.
Oh, they all they had various teachers for it, you know. I was interested. It's life was so different. See, we had no television and radio, you know, and things like that. But the radio did come in, and she.
What did you do for entertainment?
Oh, I don't know. People read.
Played cards.
And she thought cards were a waste of time. Well, I don't know. It's about the. I guess times they were pretty dull when you think about it. Just compare it now to the times. She never cared for the television. She loved the radio, but she liked to. I think her eyesight became poor, and she wanted to make her own to picture the
make
actors as her own
right, imagination.
That's the way she thought of it.
She had favorite subjects that she was interested in? I mean, like, did she prefer to teach English above geometry?
No, she mathematics was her favorite.
Mathematics?
Mm-hmm. Better than anything else. But that was a hard one to teach.
Mm, definitely. You really had to know that. Oh, yeah. It's always my worst subject.
Uh-huh. And of course, it was so hard. Then they had that raised higher arithmetic.
Mm.
And the raised middle arithmetic, and they really were. It was so much harder. You didn't have anything unknown like in algebra. I don't think they teach you.
No.
Raise our arithmetic anymore.
Mm-hmm. They just teach you how to use a calculator.
Uh-huh. It's just stress penmanship.
Yes, that's really important.
Uh-huh. Of course, then, of course, one of the qualifications to be a bookkeeper was write that good hand. You don't keep those.
Yeah. Really? Uh-huh.
And then the stillers. The storekeeper gaugers, they had to keep those records. And mm-hmm. get somebody that couldn't write the figures, couldn't read those figures. It was terrible.
Definitely.
Hmm. That's right.
Oh, what else did she teach you? Did she teach history and science?
I don't believe so. No, she never taught any science. And she taught Latin and the mathematics. The ones I remember.
English? Well,
no, somebody else taught that. But she was she believed in preparation. She never believed in people who talk about, you know, extemporaneous speaking. She said never.
She was always prepared.
Oh, always prepared. And the commencement address she used to have to make, we used to hear practicing. You know, she practiced a long time.
Was she uncomfortable just speaking extemporaneously?
No, she never did. She didn't do it.
Just didn't believe in it.
And we used to, lots of times, not make fun of it, and they would laugh about various ones of them that always jumped to their feet to make a speech, and then couldn't think of a word to say, you know. You know, you felt that, see them do that.
Oh, yeah.
You just couldn't.
You know. It happens so easily. Was she involved in other civic affairs outside of education? Was there any other?
Well, just in it, the Teachers Institute used to come, and she sold I have forgotten the name of the book they had, they published for the teachers, a little pamphlet. Oh, what did they call that? They had a company here. Southern School seemed to me, right after it failed, went out of business, but she sold her, all the teachers to get this book, this little, you know, magazine came out, and that's out of that. Now, they wanted her to sell insurance, but she didn't believe in mixing, she was a teacher, and she wanted to stay
just
on
devote
that.
Herself to
the that. One thing she always regretted, she never learned to drive a car.
Oh. Hmm.
Yeah, of course.
Why didn't it? She just didn't have the time?
Well, there was no occasion. Just didn't have the time to. And then my father drove. And of course, then they didn't have many automobiles until about, I think, 1910. Long man. She loved to do. She liked horses. And but there's no time at the school.
Yeah, I can
it
see that.
It took the time, yes.
Definitely.
Realized that.
Would you say that McKee, was that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Was that probably the most famous or most successful student that she had?
Well, I don't know whether you could say that or not. He did. He graduated. He was, I think, first in mathematics and won the sextant. Then he went on to raise that submarine, you know, the Squalus.
Mm-hmm.
But there were others, very successful. They sent us a picture of Tyler Woolridge when he received the Congressional Medal of Honor. And what is, there's one higher than that. I hear it on these quiz programs. He received more than...
About that?
Uh-huh, anybody.
Hmm.
I think he was the only one, as far as I remember.
That was Tyler? That was...
Woolridge, Tyler Woolridge. Of course, she was handsome.
Did you ever have crushes on any of them?
Oh, everybody. We did. Everybody had one on him, on Tyler. They adored him. Because he was a... He married a girl whose father was a general in the Army.
Mm.
He met her there in Annapolis. He died fairly young. He's been dead a long time. Stricken with Parkinson's. which was just a cruel fate.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Did many of the students keep in touch with your mother?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Well, they seem to have fond memories.
Yes, they did. Uh-huh. We had many of them that came by.
I think once they understood what she was doing.
Oh, yes. They never had, oh, yes, they had no. But she never took anybody that didn't want to come. She always asked them, do you want to?
It was just because the parents wanted them there.
She didn't want that. Of course, I guess some said they did and didn't, but that was a primary thing. They weren't forced to come. She had another thing when someone was getting to, and she, sometimes they came there from not going to Naples from West Point, you know, and they had been expelled. Of course, they didn't tell about that, but stealing, usually. And she told him, she said, now, you'll be forgiven, but this will never be forgotten. And many years later, one told my sister, he said, you know, I never forgot what Miss Kay told me. That said, I was just born, just a sneak thief. And said, I've been tempted many times, and I've always thought of that. You'll be forgiven, but it'll never be forgotten. And said, it really, I
helped
stopped
him.
That. And I quit that.
Your mother, was she just a very moral type person?
Yes,
she just
very, yes.
Strong belief in what was right and what was
wrong? Oh, wrong, yes. Uh-huh. There's no middle ground.
Was your father that way?
Yes, but he never, he had a strong sense of humor.
More so than your mother, huh?
Yes. I know, mother enjoyed things, but she really didn't have, you know, she wasn't, she never told any jokes or anything. It wasn't particularly witty. Now my sister was exceptionally. And we often said about Mr. Adlai Stevenson, you know, the reason he wasn't elected president, people didn't like him because they don't like witty people, you know. You know, really they don't when you think
really?
About that, but politicians, they don't want to
That's
be
true.
Witty. Sometimes she had a horror of people making fun of people. She never allowed that of anybody who was physically or mentally handicapped. They could not do that.
Do you think she might have experienced something like that when she was younger, or is it just
I don't know.
That you don't?
She always, no, I don't know that she might have. I expect, just in the difference it was being then from a country in a little town, and Republican and Democrat, North and South, just the prejudices, because the prejudice was rife then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I could figure in that.
But she wouldn't allow any child who was different in any way to be ridiculed?
No, never. Only.
What would she do if that happened? Did she, was it just simply understood immediately that that was not to be done?
I don't know. I don't remember ever happening. I've been dealt with stern measures, talked to him.
Yeah, I'm sure she would have.
Yes, yes indeed.
When your mother was helping the little boy who was retarded, now did he live at home and just come and spend all day at school with her?
I think he did. Yes, he lived there in Lawrenceburg, and his mother was very poor. That you, I don't expect you've ever seen. She sold at Watkins Remedies, had a little red wagon. And his two brothers were, she didn't worry about them because they were normal. They did all went well in the world. But as she told, she just didn't know what was going to happen to him.
Mm. Yeah, that would be.
Because we had retired ones, you know, just wandered around the streets, you know.
Nice.
One or two, you know.
Wouldn't live very long.
No.
Did your mother keep going back to school? Did she continue?
Yes, and she went one summer for various reasons. She was always trying to, some of the teachers had to go back, you know, and all, and they gave excuse they didn't have the money. So she went on the bus, and she kept a strict record of how much it cost so she could tell how much it was, because they just, oh, it cost so much, you know. So she just went and...
Find out.
Yeah, you know, had the fact she kept her.
How would she find out?
How much it cost.
Were they right or were they? the other teachers complaining? Were they?
Well, I don't know. I didn't cost so much. She just had the facts there. Hmm. They carried on about it, you know, and all. Said excuse not to go. Hmm.
Yeah, people are good at coming up with those.
Yes. So she just got tired of hearing it, and so she just decided she rode the bus and kept kind of meddling with that school.
Well, can you think of anything else about your mom?
No. She liked to, she had a well-rounded life. For instance, that summer when she went, she had, when the school was over, she had a luncheon, had the some that she met that she liked, and the professors and all, and she enjoyed teaching. Never was anything that it was a burden, never.
Mm-hmm. As if she had thought of it, how she could have done as much as she did. She was very, apparently
she never,
very
she didn't think of herself as much as she should have. And wore herself out. Everybody came with all the troubles, you know. She listened to them. Would come at night that were trying to get rid of the civil service, you know. She would
What's
teach
that?
Civil service, to go into civil
service.
To go into that. And
so it seemed like everybody in the community, just whenever they had a problem like that, they came to her?
Uh-huh. And usually the ministers' salaries were very low, and they were, they taught a few classes.
Oh.
She had them teach, and that helped out. And help them, help the school too. Not all qualified, but some were.
Hmm.
And various one, and then various young people. We had the art department for a while, and then one taught sewing. We had a little sewing class and the various things. And she, Dr. Lindsay, you think about the schools. How they start, you only have to have colors. And he was a Presbyterian minister and also a Princeton graduate. Of course, we had the orange and black colors, and they called them the Salt River Tigers, Salt River, like Princeton Tigers. We had the various Yales, you know, that Princeton had had. And so it wasn't just a, I think, a getting school ready, you know, starting. Mm-hmm.
It was a real school.
It wasn't dull. There wasn't anything dull about it. Though.
But your mother didn't encourage the romance.
No, she found, and years, and in fact, it was, if she had died, this young man, well, man, in years, he brought us this little book that they'd say, The Clash, you know, and he said, we said, why, school, mother was teaching when she married. And he said, yes, she got this, so she never revealed it, you see, that she'd gotten to finish the term, you see, the school was a man. And she had a great contempt for little men school teachers, as she called them, not little physically, but little mentally. And this one was that taught the school out. She never, of course, never mentioned. We didn't know until after she was dead. And he was just a bombastic type, should have been a patent medicine man or something, no particular. But she never revealed that, because she thought to have anything interfere with school, you know, it was just really beyond the pale. Nobody did that.
But when she got married, she...
She had to. See, she married in September, and that school wasn't open until November. So she had that. About 6 weeks. She never told me. We always thought it was the funniest thing. And although she had, they all came and told her many things about her. I remember one young man was there, and he was getting rid of civil service examination, and he told her he was cast down, and his wife accused him of being in love with the hired girl. You know, they all really had. And she would just, she thought that was, I laughed at it, you know, of course he never knew it, you know. And she said, she never did find out, though, whether he had been.
Oh, I bet she heard some stories.
Oh, yes. I've often thought about my sister and I used to say them, of course, they exaggerate a lot of things, you know, that happened. And we told some, you know, to tell the boys. And we just thought, wondered if they ever thought that about the things, various things that happened. Oh, she didn't tell many things, but that we could have told about them, you know, what they've done and all. Oh, my.
Sounds like it was kind of a pleasant childhood for you.
Oh, yes, there was never a dull moment. It was all very, but it was so, it just came about naturally. We had to go to school someplace. And,
Was your father's family not, they were from Lawrenceburg, right?
From Anderson County.
From Anderson County.
He had just one sister, 5 years older.
Oh, okay. Did
then her husband had died when she was young, like my, like his grandfather, and her, they were, that was a great help in the politics because his, her nephew, her husband's nephew, her brother-in-law had been a congressman, and then this nephew was one too, and he helped get those appointments.
Oh.
So you had to have somebody help get the appointments.
Yeah, you would, definitely.
He was close friend. And see, Frankfort was close. Politics were.
Yeah, it's right in that area.
14 miles was a great distance then, but it was right there. I think now, and for many years, they've had a bus take the workers to Frankfort.
I'm not sure.
I'm sure they have.
I know it's not that far now that it could be done easily.
They had so many work there.
It seems like many people think about it as a suburb of Frankfort.
Yes, and when they built that tile factory and all, I think most of them lived in Frankfort. They were close. That's the same distance from Lawrenceburg.
Did you have a lot of students come in from Frankfort? Or?
Yes, we had a great many. Not so many in Annapolis and West Point, but they went there to school. Yes, we had
Did a lot of students just come in and board to go to the school?
Usually preparing to go to a preparatory school or to college or something.
Is that because the school had such a fine reputation?
They had to do that to get in, you know.
How did your mother get along with some of the other teachers? Did they ever resent?
Well, some of them didn't come back. They weren't all. Because loyalty was a great thing, but she stressed that, you know. And of course, good competition. And, some didn't feel that way, you know. And all. We had, I think, two or three maybe that.
Just from what you've told me, she strikes me as the type of woman that's either going to inspire a great deal of loyalty or you're just going to back away in fear and not be able to handle it.
But she and anybody that could get, not like the coaches, if they had a chance to coach someplace else, she helped them make more money and all.
Had their best interests at heart.
Sometimes it wasn't always the best. Because the coach said that we won lots, you know, and meant more to them. I know one turned down, and then he got the chance to go to a larger, to big high school. They never won anything.
Was it just basketball that?
That was the main thing, yes. For a while they had football, but even.
What about track or baseball? Or
well, they had track teams too. I've forgotten that. See, they had those state track meets. That was mostly way back, because I know my brother, he was athletic, and he won in that a lot. And was been back in 1910, long in there.
Were the 14. Girls encouraged to be active in sports?
Well, we had a basketball team, but not in my time. Yes, they had one. I don't think they had any state tournaments, though. I don't remember anything like that. It was usually had two teams, you know, in the school. I don't remember any the state tournament. That was a great thing in the basketball, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun, too. And there were certain teams that came every year. Of course, Somerset had a great team. Had those boys that went on to, to center.
Did any of the boys that were training for Annapolis and West Point, did they participate in the basketball? Mm-hmm.
We had the great, you know, Buster Borries stands out. He was one of the so outstanding in Annapolis. The outstanding one. And then, yeah, it's a great many of them. Many of them did. They might not be trying for Annapolis and West Point, all of them, but they were on the teams, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Did any of the boys come to Kavanaugh School just to play basketball? Did it happen?
I don't know. I don't think so. There weren't any. Now, after we were gone, we had a coach that was having mother pay him extra, you know, and things like that. Kind of got, because she became ill, you know. Was ill, I think, before she had to stop teaching school. And he was one of the type that...
A little more demanding.
Those coaches then, by that time, had gotten to be quite a factor in the school.
Yeah, that's a big job now.
Yeah, great thing. Now we had... early we had, they'd send somebody to the University of Kentucky, a great player, to come, and he'd teach a class or two and coach.
Did sports have to come in second to the academic pursuits?
I don't believe so. As time went on, I have a feeling that they became, the basketball became a paramount issue.
Would your mother have supported that as much as she thought about education?
Yes, she supported that. She kind of fell under the spell of
sports? Is that because of her competitive nature, you think?
I suppose so. And these coaches, they were out to, you know, be interested. Spent much time talking how to win and how to do this. And of course, lots of games, but we used to always say that they could just play the games on the floor instead of before the game, you know.
True. I'm just thinking so much, you hear so much now about these college football and basketball players that can't write their own name. You know, how your mother would have felt to see something like that happening.
I don't know now. As it happened, the only ones I can remember those boys played basketball, they were smart.
That's interesting.
Uh-huh, they were. I know Paul
Revere. So it never got to be a problem.
Ralph Carlisle and Forrest Sale. They were all smart. I don't remember any of the ones that weren't. Buster Borries was, and they all were. The ones I remember, I don't remember any.
Did your mother have a lot of community support? Was she well respected for what she was trying to do?
Well, yes and no. Lawrenceburg was a highly prejudiced little town. And after she died, they wanted us to, in fact, a good many people, and asked me to start a little school museum, you know. We had all this memorabilia and all. And they didn't respond to it. We had wonderful publicity. And I think they did afterwards when they did away with the public school and they built another one and it became the Board of Education headquarters. I think they fixed a room too up. I don't know. Excuse me. Put that back in.
Oh, I'm glad I got to talk with you before you took off. Were you gone a long time?
Yeah, I'll be gone till April.
Oh.
Or May, almost May, last April.
Okay. I want to send you a copies of the interview. Maybe you can give me your address down there so I can send them to you down there.
All right.
Okay, what is it?
This is T.J. Beam. What T.J.?
Okay.
The Manor House, apartment 213. 100 North Ocean Boulevard.
100?
Mm-hmm. North Ocean Boulevard. Delray Beach, Florida.
Okay. 3-3-4-4-4. Okay. Did your mother ever travel very much?
No.
She just always stayed in?
She didn't travel in New Hampshire.
Did she have any other interests outside of education? That was
no,
just her?
Just said, mm-hmm. One thing.
Well,
of course, she enjoyed the KEA and things like that. She didn't take any part in the politics of it so much, but she enjoyed it.
Did she stay in close touch with other members of her family?
Oh, yes. There's always somebody there.
Big family.
She was going to school. That's what people did then, you know.
How did she meet your father?
I don't know. He was a young doctor there. She was a school teacher out in the county. You know.
Sounds oh, romantic.
She, yeah, she is. But she never really, I never felt was, after he died, that she was the same. There was nobody that, you know, that she absolutely came first with, you know. It was after all the children married.
Mm-hmm.
And all the interests and all. And, she couldn't have done it alone.
Think she was satisfied with her life?
Yes, I think so. Oh, yeah, that never entered in. No, no, she wasn't a selfish person at all.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I don't think selfish enough. No, she wasn't. It never occurred to her. She was doing what she thought was right. And
what she wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Some people today question that. Mm-hmm.
Then she had a cousin of my father's wife was from Cincinnati, and she was a highly educated and a very attractive woman. She had this one son, and she was right here starting, say, in school.
Oh. Why was she just...
Well, because her son had to be educated, you see.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And it was...
So your mother did that?
Uh-huh. And they helped to get it started, you see. And I had to have all the teachers and got ready and got big enough to. Of course, I guess county school was a great thing to have that, bring them in, you know, and get those teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to be accredited.
Mm-hmm.
See, they had to get in. At that time, and to have to take examinations to get in, and everything was hard for the ones that graduated.
Did your mother like the idea of county schools? And
I suppose so. It was just a...
Just a means
of fact, you need to... It was just one of those things that came about. I don't remember any... Of course, I was small, and I don't remember any discussion of one way or the other. I think it was a great, it must have been a political issue to start.
Any change becomes a political issue.
She always had the governor make the commencement address, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were interesting, and all the decorating, we did so much decorating.
Commencement was a bigger fair.
Oh, goodness, yes. I remember all the walls. The stage, you know, covered with chicken wire with that green stuff. It usually rained and turned kind of chilly, you know. It was the 1st of June. It was a great day.
Are you graduated, what, 1918?
18. Uh-huh. The war. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the war started.
And you went to UK then?
No, I went to Danville first.
That's right.
junior college, KCW, which is now Center College. Mm-hmm. They put it in together.
But you just talked briefly, is that right?
Yes, one of the teachers, Chase, and I talked there for that one semester.
Did your mother ever try to get you to go back to teaching?
Oh, no, I was married then, see. Mm-hmm. No. She didn't care for, when they talked, the married women called, she urged them to have a cook because she said in the afternoon they wanted to be running home and get that supper. You see, and she didn't want anything to interfere with school.
And it would.
Yes, mm-hmm. It did. Uh-huh. You belong to the school once you entered. Mm. I mean, again, teaching and everything. Your life was belonged to.
What did she do in the summer? Did she have summer school?
Oh, yes. She taught
all year round.
Oh, year round. Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, that's my painter. Oh, Sam's just time to drink some more coffee.
It's cold out there today.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a little chilly. Yeah. A little chilly. It was only in the 40s, I think. Mm-hmm. You'll be anxious to get to Florida.
Yes. Somebody said that it hadn't changed, the thermometer, I believe, didn't change. Got up to 50 and it was still there. Was that yesterday? I mean, it was today. He won't hear about 2 o'clock. Just before you came, he said that the thermometer hadn't moved from 50.
It's definitely winter's on its way.
We're only getting the bad weather.
Uh-huh. Well, I can't think of anything else to ask you. I think I've got a pretty good idea of the type of person your mother was and what her career mm-hmm. involved. Mm-hmm. What I would hope to do sometime.